We're in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and Lord willing, we may finish, and I believe the Lord is encouraging upon my heart that we'll go on with the second letter if He does tarry. So you're going to just have to be prepared for more Corinthians. I don't know. So I'll be praying for you as long as you're praying for me, huh? But praise God what He's doing, and it's magnificent. But last week, we left off and finished up that 15th and that glorious 15th chapter. And we saw there the impressiveness of this resurrection and how, again, our precious Christ Jesus being the first fruits and of the resurrection, and that we are assured of that, that He is the resurrection and the life. And in Him, we are seated together with Him in the heavens. And we're there now. By the grace of God, we have been seated. We are sons. We are children. Our citizenship is there. And brothers and sisters, I hope that in those down times, boy, when Brother David was encouraging himself in the Lord, those are some wonderful words to encourage yourself in the Lord in. Because there's nothing more mighty. And there's nothing more true and real than to think of now, not someday, but now. And going into the 16th chapter, it's just a continuation. And the continuation is, be ready, be prepared, be looking. He's going to appear to them a second time, the ones that are looking, the ones that are loving His appearing. Praise God, He's going to meet that wonderful body in the air. And that is what He is encouraging us here in this wondrous 16th chapter. You'll see here tonight that there is some practical, there's lots of practical truths in the Word of God. But I believe that there is just such wondrous types and shadows that by the grace of God we're going to delve into tonight. So let's just pray as sweet Brother Dean in his prayer that God would just open our hearts to it. All right. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, a lot of ministers really enjoy these first two verses, because we're going to be talking about tithing here. And isn't it a wonderful thing how God encourages over and over His people to tithe? And I want you to understand that a lot of times in a lot of messages, and I thank God not in this assembly, that I have heard or read commentary on in this, being impressed, the guilt. And let me tell you something, you never give in guilt. Mm-mm. Never give of necessity. You give in one way, and that's cheerfully and thankfully with a heart that is just grateful to God. And yes, I want to talk just about this in a few of the practical meanings. At this time, in the biblical times, the welfare of the people in the church was done by the church. They didn't have a welfare system. They didn't have a government, in a sense, that we pay these dollars into that'll make programs and create different things for people that are in need. So the church was very active in helping the saints at this time. Now, I have heard people say before, well, then that's the best reason not to tithe, because the state's already taking care of the people, and that's what it was for. And I hope you understand that that's very wrong. Tithing is an essential part of your worship. Essential. It's an essential part of your surrender to the Lord. It is our open expression of that what we have, and especially, as it's saying here, the very first fruits of what we have. They're the Lord's. And I've really come to think about it this way. Everything I have is the Lord's. If He tells me to part with certain things, I hope by His grace I will just have an open hand. And I'm going to tell you something. That open hand is always replenished, not just twofold, but 100-fold with God. And it's not that I give to get. I want you to understand that's not what we do. We've already been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So what more could I receive in a sense? It's already been given. His love, that Son. But brothers and sisters, it is an essential part. And we still need to be fiscally responsible under the hand of God as this church. I want you to understand it is important. And I think it's important that we do speak about this. Under the hand of God to invest as God permits in this ministry. And it just so happens that this ministry by His grace is His Word. And His ministry is in the people. I think how often we get so caught aside that we think ministry is in buildings. We think ministry is in schools or all of these different other things that there is. God's ministry truly is in the meeting. It's in His Word and it's in His people. And that's why it's continuing on today that we are, by the grace of God, to be responsible under that hand. Notice here in verse 2, it says, the first day of the week. Mention there the first fruits of thy labor. Tithing cheerfully in worship and fellowship with God. This weekly speaks of regular yielding of a willing and grateful heart. This is a commitment of our possessions to God. This is a willingness to say, Lord, everything I have, who I am yours. And that's the importance of being willing to give unto the Lord. And not just give, I hope you understand this too, just of our, in a sense, our tithe, our monies, but giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves in fellowship. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, take the time and the benefit to actually hang around after a meeting. I encourage you to fellowship. I encourage this side of the church to go over and meet that side of the church. And this side of the church, or the front of the church, to go meet the back of the church. It's an amazing thing what you might find. It's the love of God. So that's the giving of ourselves. Again, this us four or us ten and whatever groups or cliques, by the grace of God, get rid of that. It's precious that we have deeper fellowship maybe in certain areas, but we need to embrace the whole body. We're part one of another in Him. And we need to embrace that. And by the grace of God, I hope He makes that real to us. Now notice there in verse 2. It says, everyone. Do you see that? It says, let every one of you lay by him in store. Now I heard a brother one time say, well, you know, there is this poor lady. Now let me tell you something. When these churches do shakedowns, that's just wrong. I hope you understand that. I'm talking about tithing is unto the Lord. And he says, everyone. And it's not the amount, I hope you understand that. It's the state of heart, and it's the worship, and it's what we are to do. And I appreciate how the Lord reminded us so sweetly with the widow's mite there in Mark 12. She gave all that she had. There were all those that were walking by beating their chest maybe or expressing how much they could give because they had so much. But look what the Lord says. We are to give as God hath prospered. And I'll tell you what, that widow's mite, that sweet sister, she prospered because she gave. So again, God forbid I would ever tell you don't give because of a certain situation. Because you were too poor to give, the Lord says, let everyone. And if it's the widow's mite, praise God, because she gave more than they all. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, don't go by this. Move in faith, move in God's Word, and He'll bless you. He will. He'll bless your life. It'll give you a peace. It'll give you such wonderful fellowship with Christ when we move with Him. All right. So again, give accordingly. And just kind of a last thought here as well too. You know, God, if you really think about His whole creation, He's made it to give. Whether it's this the universe in a sense. Think of the sun. The sun gives heat. Okay? You get down to our atmosphere. The clouds give rain and protection from the heat. The wind gives the difference in temperatures. Even His little doves, they give meat, they give song, they give all these things. And I appreciate what Brother Hill said over and over and over. I don't believe a stingy Christian can really ever attain God's best. Don't believe it can be. And in my heart of hearts, I believe if we're that way with ourself, with our money, with anything it is, we need to be open. We need to have our hands open to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, He'll fill them up with the jewels of forever. Praise God. So there is some wonderful practical and doctrinal But let's get now into the wonderful types. Now, those first two verses, here we see Paul coming to Corinth, and he's talking about the collection of saints. How about having a vision as this is Christ returning, and he's talking about a collection of saints, and he's talking about being prepared, and he's talking about being ready, and he's talking about don't be concerned with the things of this world. Lay up where? Lay up our treasure in heaven. Lay up our riches in heaven. Where our heart is where our treasure is, brothers and sisters. And again, we have to trust God. We have to, by the grace of God, allow Him to put this faith in our lives to really move with Him, to commit our life to Him, to say, Lord, I want to yield to You. I believe that Your goodness and Your abundant life is so abundant than anything I've ever lived before. And I'll tell you what, He does deliver it. I can testify to that. He'll bring you, like we were talking about this week, whether it's friends, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a job, whatever it is, He'll bring you the best. And you'll say, maybe, well, you don't realize what job I have. When you get your eyes on Him, it's the right one. What do you think about that? Do you think He perfects that which concerns you? Do you think that He said, when He said, I'm not going to withhold anything good from you? These are promises of God. These are promises of God. And that He has you sitting in a Bible study on a Wednesday night in 2007 in this wicked world that's so automated, that has so many things that can reach out and maybe give you sensation for a moment, that's a miracle. That's God working in your life. And I hope you'll take your past, I hope you'll take every experience that you've ever had and say, praise the Lord, You got me to where I am today. What do you think of that, huh? It had to be that way, brothers and sisters. You had to walk a different life than I did. I was talking to a young lady today. Some of the most hurtful things have gone into this young life. Things that she didn't ask for, didn't deserve, just born into that. But I trust God that it was meant to be that way. It had to be that way to have a heart that I saw sitting before me today. Softened, ready to receive the Word of God, ready to become a full overcomer. And all I could keep thinking of, to whom much is given, much is required, I looked at my sister and I said, honey, you have had so much given. I'll tell you what, the requirement for you has got to be the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, how could we get to that? The world would look at it and say, well, she's got every excuse to be this way and this way and this way and this way. I look at the Word of God and I say, well, we only have one excuse, and that's to be the full overcomer in Christ. To believe Him that that's what He's meant for us. To believe Him that that path that He's put you on, those things that you've gone through, by the grace of God, He can work them all and is working them all together for your good. I choose to believe God. I believe that this is God's Word. And I believe He's true at His Word. And I believe the Word does work effectually to them that believe. And I'm thankful for the immediate... I'm telling you, these words of life that we've just spoken of, when you believe that, you've entered into rest, you've entered into peace, and you're satisfied. And there's no doubt. You just are. Because He is. Praise God for that. So, again, we see this wonderful type of laying up our treasure in heaven. And then, as it goes into verse 2, how about this? The measure of what we're laying up in heaven will equate to the amount of the glory that shall be revealed in me. Am I really willing to go? Praise God. And again, I was just rejoicing in, look at when this is laid up. The first day of the week. Let me tell you something. There's a week coming. It's seven, but it's a seven-year period. Praise God. And I want to be looking that my exit out of here is the beginning of that week. How about you? Huh? Praise the Lord. There's so many things in here. And it's not to try to be witty or anything. This is just the perfect pattern that God's weaving throughout His Word of God. That there is going to be a company out from among the body that is going to meet Him in the air. It's known as the out resurrection. And they are kept from the hour of temptation or the tribulation that will come upon this world. Praise God. And it's going to be. So, all right. And you notice here, I love Brother Paul too. As he says there at the end of that second verse, he says, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, when he was going back and talking about taking up the tithe, remember, Brother Paul, he didn't want to, in a sense, be part of that, did he? Remember, as we read through Corinthians, he didn't want to even be associated. This brother went and even worked to feed himself, to clothe. He didn't want to put that burden on anybody. He didn't want them to ever think that he was doing it because of the money. And I appreciate that about him. But at the same time, I also want you to appreciate that the Lord does bless. The Lord does give things. And I do thank God that Brother Paul, again, so revered the Word of God that he wouldn't want to take and distract it in any way from anybody's life. Let that speak to you. All right, verse 3. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now what he's talking about here is that after they've done this collection, get the brothers that are faithful and prayerful men. You'll find those kind of brothers in Acts 6. And get them to collect all of it. And when he's talking about these letters here, he says that I will send letters with them. And then you're going to take this offering and you're going to bring it to Jerusalem and you're going to distribute it to the saints there as well. And if it be meet, if it be necessary, I'll go with them. So this is a precious thing that that he wanted this done, that he wanted this dispersed, that he was willing to accompany them. But let's look at the type here that's going on, and I think it's so wonderful. That ye shall be approved by your letters. And those letters that Paul wrote, oh my goodness, the letters that Paul wrote in here, the very Word of God. And that's what's going to make me approved. I'm studying to show myself approved unto God. And what approval that we get in Paul's epistles. And you see here that it says, I will send to bring your offering unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem speaking of heaven. The only thing that we could offer to heaven is the Word of God working effectually in my life. The only thing I will ever bring into heaven is what Christ has done in me. I'm not going to bring anything else. Those pharaohs proved it there in Egypt. They dug up their tombs. All that gold and silver still there. Or I shouldn't say it was still there. It was stolen. They found it over in France or Germany or wherever it was. But it wasn't taken with them. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what Christ does in our life is going to last. And I appreciate that Paul here is encouraging through his letters that this offering that we can bring into heaven someday. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. I think these are Christ's words himself in a sense there in John 14:3. Remember when he says, if I go, there ye may be also? Doesn't that just ring and sing to your heart? That he has gone to prepare a mansion. Don't you distress. I love you. I'm coming again. And praise God, where I go, you're coming also, and we're going to be together. Now going on with verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey wheresoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. So we have Brother Paul here talking about how he's going to travel all around the country, in a sense. He could have taken a ship and gone straight away, but what he did is he kind of went in a big horseshoe up through Macedonia to come down, because God had told him to go this way. There was a vision of God for his ministry, and he listened to the Lord. And you can see through these verses that he anticipated the fellowship. He was longing for this fellowship. He wanted to come to them. He wanted to give them the Word of God. But even more so, you can see, again, maybe in this type, this word Macedonia means giant. It means tall. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ overcame the greatest giant, the greatest obstacle there's ever been. He overcame sin and death on that cross. and the ministry that came forth, oh my, it has ministered to all. And praise God, as it says there in verse 6, that it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you. And I was just thinking as we were singing that, that the spring is coming. We are in a winter time. We are here upon this earth. Our time is about to come, and He has brought forth His message to us, and we are rejoicing. And He says that ye may bring me on my journey wheresoever I go. I want to live the Christ life. Even though I'm going through this world, even though it is a winter, I'm looking at my forever. I'm not looking at these things around me by the grace of God. I'm looking at my victory. Payday someday. Our time is a coming. And praise God, that's the joy unspeakable and full of glory that I can carry with me on my journey, on my way through this life. He's my song. He's my light. He's my highlight of this life. Again, dealing with just different ones. And ladies, I don't mean to single you out, but there's different ones that I talk to often about that are single, about how I need a man. And I know that that might be something, and don't get me thinking that I don't think you need a man at all. You need a godly man, but you know the man you need Jesus. And as He's given you this time alone with Him, rejoice in it. Get close to Him. Let Him be your husband. Really, He wants to be your husband. Get close to Him that way. And then it's amazing when our heart is just set and affections on Him. I do believe He doesn't withhold anything good. I do believe He'll bring you the man of God that you are to have. And we don't need to be raking through this and this and this. Be patient and wait on the Lord. He'll bring you. And I'm telling you, when He brings it, He'll bring the right one. But as I've mentioned much before, be the right one. Make it that you're the right one to attract that. I was trying to explain to this one. I said, you know, flies attract flies. Okay, now. Sometimes we can be blunt. But by the grace of God, be that sweet-smelling incense. Be that wonderful offering that the Lord can put in our life. And trust Him that He will bring that goodness to your life. It's so, so wonderful. All right. So, he goes on to say in that seventh verse, "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit." Again, everything was God willing in his life. It was so sweet. But I think that this is talking about redeem the time. Redeem it. Jesus Christ even said to him, as they were trying to be all haughty about giving the money to the poor, he said, "Me, you only have a little while. I'm only going to be here a short while. Our life is but a vapor." Same difference. And he's saying, wake up. Get it. Get it while the getting's good. As the Lord's encouraged me to tell you, brothers and sisters, we're in season. Our season is now. It is. And the Lord's love is coming after us. And we need to receive every bit of it that He wants to give us. And He wants to give us every dimension of it. So He said He'd withhold nothing good from us. So then, going into verse 8, and here's the high water mark of it all. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." All this was Lord willing, all of these different things. But He said, "I will tarry at Ephesus till Pentecost." Now, the importance of Ephesus, as again our sweet dear Brother Hill used to say, often was the high water mark, or is the high water mark. And Ephesian saints, brothers and sisters, need to know Ephesian truth. Brother Copley brings this out in his study, and I so appreciate how he brought that out and how it just went across the strings of my heart. And as it says here about Pentecost, see, too many saints want to just remain at Pentecost. They don't want the sacrifice to moving into Ephesus. You think of Pentecost. It obviously talks about and means the Spirit, that joyous time, that rejoicing time. But the Word of God says the true worshiper, there's two requirements. It's spirit and in truth. Now let's see, what is he talking about here? Well, I'll tell you what he's talking about here. You think about, we love the times of the mountain peaks. But I'm going to tell you something, the fruit's in the valley. And it is. The Word of God even told us that His Word's going to be sweet to our mouths. I hope that we come into these Bible studies and it is sweet. It is honey. It's a salve. It is just the love of God by His grace. But I'm going to tell you, if it really is working effectually in you, you're going to take it home and it's going to start to get bitter. Because there must be the way of suffering. It's going to be there. Christ Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be. There was an if to that. There's a caveat to that. There's no ifs with John 3:16. You've got it. Praise God. You believe in Him and you've got the everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful? But there is an if to jointly reigning with Jesus Christ. There is a difference. Every man in his own order, like we read about. There's a rank out there. And the if is, if so be that ye suffer together with me. But there's a reason for the suffering, and He brings it right back immediately, so that you'll also be glorified together with me. He wants you jointly in that. He wants you jointly reigning, He wants you jointly suffering, and He wants us to be jointly glorified together with Him. Sounds like a marriage to me. How about you? Huh? What a partnership. Not just what you can do for me today, but Lord, by the grace of God, I'm in it with you. I'm realizing that Galatians 2:20 is real. That I did die. I was crucified with Him. I died with Him. Praise God. But now I live. And it's Christ who lives in me. Okay? And now we're going on with a life of faith. And this is what He's bringing into us this evening, is more of His Word to build the faith in our life. But we see this Ephesus and the importance of the Ephesian truth. And the Ephesian truths are the deep things of God. You think about the Ephesians there in Ephesians, how it brings out that, again, joint heirs. That's that word synkleronymous that we've read about so many times over and over. And that's joint heirs. As man and wife with Jesus Christ. That's the very mystery. Also in Ephesians, I think about, it talks about knowing the very dimensions of the love of God. Every bit of it, not just a part, but that I would know the love of God and it would dwell in my life richly. Praise the Lord. This is that high calling truth. This is that Ephesus. But notice what is at stake here in this Ephesus. It goes on to say, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We read about this in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. Do you remember? The beasts at Ephesus. Is that ringing a bell? Praise God. He fought the satanic forces there. You'd think that he'd want to get out of town. And what's he saying here? Oh no, this is the greatest place I've ever been. This is the great big door that's opened up to me. It's effectual because there's many adversaries here. Paul was out of his mind because he had the mind of Christ. He knew how rich this time was for him. He knew that only going this way, this was that I may know Him. That I may know Him in the fellowship of those sufferings. Being made conformable even unto death. This was a must to understand the power of His resurrection. Praise God. It had to be this way. It has to be the way of adversity for great overcoming. Do you believe it? The Word of God said it was so. Now is it maybe coming to pass? Why, all these things you're going through, huh? Maybe your body's starting to fail and it shouldn't be failing. Maybe you've lost your job and you've been a good worker. Huh? I'm not talking about things you brought on yourself. I'm not talking about losing your job because you were lazy and you didn't show up for work. Uh-uh. Nope. I'm talking about a trial. I'm talking about God's will in your life. And He says, whatever I do it heartily as unto the Lord. Those are the good things. See, that's when He sends trial. And this trial is not joyous. We know that. The Word of God told us that. But it produces the pleasing fruit to God. It's the most pleasing thing. Because it's the test of, do we really believe Him? Do you believe Him? I hope you do. I hope we do. Because it is what it's all about. It is what He's trying to bring forth in our life, is this great faith, brothers and sisters. And Brother Paul was saying here, this is a great door. And I'm telling you, this is getting me excited here. Because this is a great door. Now, anything to do with God is great. But let's go read about a great door here. I want you to turn with me over to Philippians. And let's look at... let's do it in this order. Let's go to Revelation first. Let's go to chapter 3. Book of Revelation. And we'll start reading from verse 7. Now, for those who haven't studied as much in Revelation, this is talking about the Philadelphia saints. The Philadelphia saints represent the full overcomers. These are the bridal saints. These will be the ones, by the grace of God, that will be in that first rapture, that will meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 speaks of this. Okay, so let's read what it talks about here. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. So obviously we're talking about Jesus Christ here. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens. He's talking about heaven here. It's nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ to open heaven and shut it. Okay? Nothing. Nothing's hard for Him. Did it with Enoch. Did it with Elijah. Did it when Christ obviously rose and He took some of them. He can open it and He can shut it. And no other person can. It's He that does it. Now, I know thy works. Praise God. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Oh my. He's opening up heaven. Praise the Lord. And no man can shut it. And why can't any man shut it? For thou hast a little strength. We're talking about faith. And has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I love this part. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. This is a special lady. Oh my God, help our unbelief. Let's get into this and believe who we are in Jesus Christ. Come on. Come out from among them. Come out from this. Come out from my legality. And accept what Christ Jesus wants to do in your life. Where He wants you. What He sees for you. That vessel that He has prepared afore unto glory. This is who He's talking about here. Now listen to this 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because you have waited for me and prepared, and this bride that has made herself ready, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That door is going to be open to heaven, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is the body that is spared from the tribulation. She's gone. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to speak of it here. Chapter 10. Brother Paul, so sweetly. What's it all about? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him. Man, I want to know Him. And I want to know Him more and more all the time. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that resurrection of the dead, brothers and sisters, we've been reading about it. That's the out resurrection. That's the out resurrection from the tribulation. Before the tribulation even begins, you're out of here. That's the door that has been opened. This great door that Paul was rejoicing about here in Ephesus, he was really taking hold and seizing on to that the Lord is coming. And that the bride hath made herself ready. And that this door of heaven, this great door, there's only one way. It's a way of suffering. It's a way of adversity. And Brother Paul knew that when he was weak, then he was strong, because the very power of Christ was resting upon him, because he had at that time that little strength that was the ability to keep the word of his patience, to keep looking up and say, Lord, I love you. I don't care that these people are trying to kill me. I don't care that these people are trying to put me in chains. I don't care that they've already put me in a prison. By the grace of God, I can write the joy book of the Bible because you're here. Isn't that just beyond? I want to live a life of beyond. I do. I appreciate, as my little son said about Brother Hill when he went. I was trying to explain where he went, meaning heaven. How wonderful it was, by the Spirit. And he says, oh, Daddy, Grandpa's way, it's just way. And it's true. It's just way. Praise God. Oh my. For a great door. And notice, for the door to be great like this, it's an effectual door. And it says in the Word of God that His Word works effectually. And it's the Word that works effectually in them that believe. Never going to have this open door vision in your life. You're never going to have the vision of escaping the tribulation, in a sense, if the Word's not working effectually in your life. It's not, is it? And for each and every one of us, by the grace of God, who has that vision, you know at a time in your life you didn't. And I can tell you why. Because the Word wasn't working effectually to give us that vision. Now is the appointed time, brothers and sisters. God is about ready to send His Son. The trump is about to sound. Yeah. And I appreciate sweet Brother Paul, because he was looking for him. He was looking. I appreciated sweet Brother Hill as he lay there, ready to go to be with the Lord. He was still expecting Him to come. He wasn't worrying about his body that was ravaged with cancer. He wasn't worried about his body that was ravaged with pain and the things that were going through his body in those last few months. I remember Mom just so hurt to see that. Lord, why? Lord, why? Well, I'm going to show you. You just be still. And I hope one of them gets up again here recently, if they're encouraged of the Lord, and tells you of the homegoing of Brother Hill. How the Lord did come that night. And he was about as alive, almost as alive, in a sense, as he will be someday when he gets his glorified body, in a way. But that spoke to me of the rapture and how that's going to be. We're going to be quickened like we've never been quickened before. Because we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And it's here this evening. And there are many adversaries. It's got to be that way. There's no lotus land of ease, brothers and sisters. God's not going to grow you up in a hothouse. Aren't you so thankful we heard these things over and over? Are they becoming more real to you? See, that's the thing that, by the grace of God, that's what He's impressed upon me. Is that we had a brother, praise God, that had built the wall. I'm sent to maintain the wall. What a glory. What a glory it's going to be. And it's almost there. And we need to be about that. Not about anything else. Yes, you're doing that daily heartily as unto the Lord. But don't let that enemy still distract you from what you need to be tending upon. He is coming. And His reward is with Him. And I just think, Lord, You're the only reward I want.
But he's just exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Praise the Lord. All right. Going on. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. Boy, I'll tell you, he knew these Corinthians, didn't he? They were going to try to devour him, eat him up. And poor old Timothy, remember over there in Timothy, he had to come to him. Hey, he said, hey, brother, you better stir up that gift that's within you because the Lord's got some work here. And no, not a time to be a wimp. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord, son. And it's going to be by the power of His might. It's the Holy Spirit. Let Him stir it up. Praise God. Let Him build you up in the things of God. So, that He may come and be without fear, for He worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise Him, but conduct Him forth in peace, that He may come unto me, for I look for Him with the brethren. See, they were used to Paul in a sense here. They really loved Paul. Everybody loved Paul. And you know, Paul said, I'm going to send you Timothy. And you need to respect this brother. You need to love him. You need to pay attention. I don't care what you've been used to. This is the vessel that God has chosen. This isn't Paul's words here. This is the Spirit speaking through Paul. And Timothy means honored of God. And Paul knew the faith and love that was in this brother. He speaks of it in Timothy there. But he also knew that this brother was young and timid at the same time. So you can see this wonderful love of God that was in Paul's life. You know, he didn't think so highly of himself. He says, well, you know, I'll let you just go through the grinder, brother. He prepared it under the hand of the Lord. He was preparing these brothers and sisters and saying, you need to be encouraged here because you're dealing with God. You're not respecting a man. You don't disrespect him. You're respecting God in him. You've heard me say this before. No need you to honor me for myself, but you need to honor this vessel by the grace of God because this is who God has chosen. And it's just the way it is. And I had to realize that. When I go home tonight, I'll have to realize it again, maybe. I don't know. But I appreciate the prayers and the encouragement. See, we're all there. But we're just dealing with God. Do you understand that? And He uses what He will. We're talking about about the gifts of the Spirit. He gives it as He does. It's His decision. And we're just here by the grace of God to glean from Him. All right? All right, so he goes on to say, basically, we need to hear this, Timothy. And we need to hear what he's saying here, the Timothys that are about us today. These are God's anointed. These are the ones declaring the full gospel. This is God's word. If we want to grow, brothers and sisters, we need to have the Timothy pastoring, and we need to have the Timothy preaching. You need it if we're going to be full overcomers. If we're going to grow up into Him in all things in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to hear truth and love. And that is what God told Paul to preach that was in this sweet brother. And then there at the end of that 11th verse, this is so mighty, some more type. For I look for Him. And what this look for is, he expects this honored of God and all the others that are honored of God to be in that first rank. Remember how Brother Hill used to stand up here? See it all coming together? And he'd say, you know, sometimes I'm back there in my office and I wonder if Brother Copley's going to just kind of pop up and say, let's go, D.E. Huh? This was the looking that he was looking for. See, he wasn't just saying those things. Those were inspired of the Word of God. Those are types even in his life. That, again, line upon line, let it speak to us. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. This is kind of cute. Apollos means one who destroys. Apollos was an incredible preacher. He was a mighty man of God, and I'm sure he did not pull any punches. He was coming at you. And I think it was sweet that the Lord knew that the Corinthians probably couldn't bear Apollos at this time. It would have been like a nuclear bomb going off there, and he would have just said, enough of you, maybe, and that was it. But the Lord knew he had to send the salve, and he sent sweet Timothy, a meek brother, a brother who really was truly aware of infirmities and, and different things of that nature. God knows, and God's got a plan, and it's all on His time. And Apollos was to come after Timothy would plow. Again, the everything has a season, I think of. Going on here, verse 13. What a mighty verse here. Let's listen to this. Watch ye. Stand fast in faith, in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity. Basically, he's just saying, you better prepare for the coming of the Lord. I've been telling you again and again and again. Now I'm going to give you the five qualities as he's bringing out here of being ready. The number five, it's all by grace, brothers and sisters. Nothing of ourselves. The five imperatives, the five essentials. You see there the first one, watch. We could spend the rest of our lives just on that word. But as we move along here, be alert. Be those that are alive there in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, those which are alive and remain, quickened in the very image. That word alive, you go over there to Revelation, you'll find it there in the four living ones. Go look what they look like. You know who they look like? They look like Christ. They're fully developed. They're fully mature. They're expecting that second coming, and He's going to appear unto them. They're expecting a crown, and those that love His appearing are going to receive that crown. So there's the first one, watch. The next one is stand fast, and not just stand fast. There's only one way you stand fast. It's in faith. It's in the very Word of God. It's the whole armor of God. You go look about those in Ephesians about that armor. Every bit of that armor speaks of truth, speaks of the Word, speaks of Christ. If there's ever any standing, it's always going to be in His Word, in faith, and that's God's faith, and God's faith is in His Son. And it's so wonderful that we do know that, and He gives us that wonderful armor. We need to be saturated in the Word of God, and we need to believe the Word of God at what He tells us so that we can stand. You think about the Word when people are not standing. They're tossed to and fro, what? With every wind of doctrine. Other, something other than the Word. That's when they got unstable. How did Peter say, those that fall from their own steadfastness? Huh? Because it was their own. It wasn't the Word of God that was sustaining them. It was their own self-righteousness. And who knew it better than Peter? Oh Lord, I'll never forsake you. I'm never going to deny your name. I'll fight for you. I'll kill him. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's right, brother, three times. So we know that. We know that the Lord, it's His wonderful grace and it that gives us the faith. And then it goes on to say, quit ye like men. That means be mature. Grow up. Quit running around like children. You can see that happening often in our lives, can't we? It's when we get distracted. We need to speak truth in love. I start gossiping. I start getting ugly about things. That's just childlike. I'm not speaking truth in love. By the grace of God, I want to edify the body. You know? That's encourage you spiritually, to build you up by the grace of God. We're in this ministry together. This is a little body that He has given us. Praise God. This is His ministry that we need to cherish and to nurture. And it says, be strong. Isn't that wonderful? How are we strong? We're strong in the Holy Spirit. We're strong because we have the very power of His might. But it even goes on from there. I think about the Word of God. He tells me to decrease so that He can increase. And He tells me that when I'm in this great pain and suffering and all of this trial, when I'm completely weak, that's when the very power of Christ is resting upon me. And I can't think of anything any more powerful than that. So how am I strong? To know that it's Him. To be completely made weak, and my dependency is all upon Him. And then, finally, brothers and sisters, the fifth one, it says, let all things be done with love. We know that we went through the 13th chapter. Think of all this coming out of Corinthians. Wow. Can you imagine all the truth? Without love, it's profitless. did me no good. It has to be His love. It has to be the very grace of God. Remember, we've been talking about the grace of God? That's the love of God active and alive in my life. That's His grace. There's no other way that I could ever think, how could I ever possess the love of God? It's just His grace. He gave it. It's there. And now, by His grace, let's just accept it. Let's continue on. Let's see how far we can get tonight. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. That's we read about Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 1:16. Talks about how Paul baptized him and his family there. That it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, this is speaking of, these were the first converts at Corinth. This area of Achaia included the Corinthians. And it may have been even the first converts, in a sense, that Paul was really able to witness to. Because he even says that, I didn't really come to baptize, but you know what? Stephanas, he got baptized by Brother Paul. But again, speaking of the first fruits, that showing that there were more to come, which was such a precious thing here. But I want us to really notice in this verse that word addicted. You do want to be addicted. You really do. This is a great addiction. And I want us to think about just a few things about addiction and think of yourself with Christ. Addicted means you have an overpowering desire. It just overpowers you. Huh? Gotta have it. Second phase of it, it says you need to maintain that desire because it's so overpowering that you need more. You finding that with Jesus? It's just so good I even need more. And then finally, I get so utterly dependent upon that wonderful Lord that I can't function without Him. I was speaking to a dear sister, and her husband was away. And she told me how it's hard, sad. My wife was away for a week. That house, we got it together right before she came home. Kind of. She said, was that counter ever wiped? Oh, it's okay. Mom's back. This is the dependence we want, brothers and sisters. We want to be utterly dependent upon Him. This is a wondrous addiction. This is the addiction that we, by His grace, want for our lives. That love to be ever so full of this wondrous Jesus. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and labors. We need to have love and respect for one another, brothers and sisters. We need to be courteous. You're a child of the King. Prince Edward or Andrew came in here. I'm assured that you all would respect them and shake their hand and, you know, do whatever you could. Could I get you a water? You know, a sandwich? Are you hungry? I hope they're saved. I don't know. Do you know what we walk amongst here? We better realize it. We really do need to realize it. The aristocracy, as we've been groomed to know the Word of God, of forever. Ones looking for the coming of the Lord. We need to cherish one another. We need to cherish that message coming forth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. Stephanas means crowned. And Fortunatus, which means prosperous or reward. And Achaicus, which means suffering. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. What wondrous things that those brothers supplied to him. The crowning, the prospering, and the suffering. You'll never have any of those without all of them. You won't. It's the way. Praise God. It's all over us, brothers and sisters. And again, I don't mean to belabor it, but how many times over and over does God have to tell us in His Scriptures that same message? There is a high calling. And you are going to go through trial to receive it. And you are going to suffer if you're going to jointly reign with Me. There is no requirement except for believing in Christ in order to go to heaven. We know that. That thief upon the cross, there was never a bit of suffering for Christ's sake in his life. Huh? He got up on that cross and hung next to him because of his own doing. That wasn't because of suffering with Christ. But you know what? He was going to be with Jesus forever because he acknowledged him as Lord. Do you see the difference? He's offering something so special, so wondrous. And again, it's just falling in love with him. For they have refreshed my spirit. And I'll hurry along here. I'd like to close with this. For they have refreshed my spirit. That word refreshed is the same word that you'll find in the word rest. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the same word. Isn't that precious? That's Matthew 11:28. It's amazing what we can bring when we're vessels of the Lord. The very love of God we can bring in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Matthew 11:28. And notice here, it was refreshed my spirit and yours. It's all about Christ. When we get, if Jesus tarried, to 2 Corinthians 7:13, we're going to read that these Corinthians even refreshed Brother Titus. See, God worked. God had a wondrous work in these brothers and sisters. Paul didn't give up because God sent him. This was God's ministry. This was God's mission. Praise the Lord. This wasn't, well, we're going to have to go out and preach it to everybody. No, this was God being specific and telling him, I want you here, brother. I want you to write this letter because these people are going to receive your word. There's hearts there. Remember when he was saved old Lot? Well, Lord, if how many? We finally got down to just a few, didn't he? But the Lord was still looking at him. Praise God. He wanted to get to that. Even if it was just one, he would have died. Praise the Lord. So therefore, acknowledge of them that are such. So take note and cherish them. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Aquila and Priscilla were the ones, again, that spoke to and encouraged Brother Apollos and led him into that better way, the more perfect way. Paul stayed at their house. And these two accompanied him to Ephesus as well, too. They salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren, and I hope we all have church in our house. Do you have church in your house? Huh? I hope you have church tomorrow morning in your house. What do you think? Take time for the Lord. Bring out the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Have church in your home. That doesn't give you an excuse not to come here on Sunday. Oh, we had church so we can watch the game. But no, I'm not getting to that one. I mean, you have church. It's in spirit, all right? And people running, thinking, oh, no, I'm going to run amok with that one. I'm never going to miss a Bronco game again. All right. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Oh, isn't that sweet? Okay, that's the genuine love of God. That's why we do kiss one another. Now, somebody's not comfortable, maybe a handshake, a hold, a hug or something like that. But this is the Lord encouraging. A lot of people say, well, why do you kiss one another? Well, I tell you, when you're in love, you can't help but greet your brother and sister with a kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. He wrote this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of interesting that he finishes this way. Let him be anathema, which is accursed. Anathema, I apologize. Anathema, accursed. And maranatha means the Lord cometh. So if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, the Lord cometh. Now what's he saying there? Well, you need to understand what this word love. And we're wrapping it up here quickly. But this word love is filial. This is the word that means I love you as a friend. This is the lowest form of love that there could be. This was the love when Jesus was dealing with Peter. When he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yo, Lord, I filial love you. I love you as a friend. I acknowledge you as a sweet, lovely Lord. Peter, do you love me? Second time. Yes, Lord, I love you because you're a lovely Lord. But you know, we're going to stop there for a second because that lovely Lord was just like that, and I will say, the sweet thief on the cross. He acknowledged him as Lord. And you know what? That was the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's how small it is. Just acknowledge Him as Lord. Professing Him as my Lord, my Savior. That was enough. That's how much God loves us. It didn't have to be, well, I did this and that. See, that wasn't what it was about. It was just acknowledging that His Son is Lord. Praise God that it was that easy. But if you don't have just Lord, then you are accursed. And God's going to come and God's going to avenge and God's going to take you out of the way eventually. And He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The only way you're ever going to prosper, the only way you're ever going to grow is in grace. It's a gift. Praise the Lord. And it's there. He just loves you. He can't help it. And Brother Paul says, my love be with you all. And the only love we could ever have is in Christ Jesus. He had true love for these people because He had the high calling welfare for them. And He says, the love in Christ. And we have love in Christ, the only love we have. And praise God, I hope you've enjoyed this. I have. And again, brothers and sisters, we could never begin to exhaust this. I encourage you to go back and rejoice through the Scriptures. Allow the Lord to, again, build you up in it. And if He tarry, I think the letter only gets better. Praise God. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians. So let's stand and be dismissed.